reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping.
You're now dialed into the Voice of Tor podcast with your host, Luke Hay. The Voice of Tor podcast is brought to you by Westchester Mulch Company and FMF Rental.
Secretly stern as they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup, but he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Voice of Tor podcast. We are getting ready here for Rocket Raceway this weekend. It is a fresh venue for Tor. I know there have been some other races here. You guys are pretty familiar with it. It's a PA race, moto track, and we're going to be cutting in, or Tegan is in the process actually of cutting in some awesome woods loops for you guys. So hopefully we get to hear from Tegan in this podcast a little bit later on. But I know it's been a while here since Bud's Creek. Everybody's kind of itching to get back to racing. I am itching to get back behind the microphone and up on the podium here, watching all you goofballs in the extreme section and all that good stuff. Everybody down on the starting line. Feels like it's been forever since we've seen everybody. I have somebody very special here on the line with me, and I am sure you are all familiar with her. And it's been a long time coming. She is kind of the queen of Tor. She's never lost one. Every race she's entered, she's won. I've lost count by this time. I'm talking about Carly Lee. Carly, are you out there?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, Carly. Thank you for joining me here tonight. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we got to get you some more exposure. You're kind of like a celebrity around Tor. So I'm hoping maybe we can get this out there on YouTube and Spotify and start to empower some more young girls here, cuz you seriously are turning some heads out there, and you are something of an icon around the Tor races here. How does that feel? Let's get that out of the way here. That was one of my questions. How does it feel to be kind of like a celebrity? You are such a role model for not only the young girls but the young boys too. It's awesome to see them coming up and fist bumping you on the line and getting their picture, maybe an autograph here. How does that feel?
It's really cool. I never put too much emphasis on it, and I never recognize it until I'm at those races, because I feel like another girl just ride my bike and I show up to these races, and Ashley Huff's daughter comes up to me, I think, every race, and there's a lot of other girls that come up and they talk to me, and it's awesome. It's awesome to feel like, people look up to me as a role model. It's really cool.
And this didn't happen overnight, right? When did you start riding dirt bikes, and how did you kind of climb your way up into the pro ranks?
I started riding when I was 8. I went to an NEOC back in the day, one of my cousin's races. And I just showed up one weekend just to watch, and I thought it was really cool. And I just kind of said to my dad, this is something I think I want to try. And I think we had a 50 in the yard maybe a week later, and had training wheels and stuff. And I was smaller for an 8-year-old, but like kind of big for a PW50. So it was kind of weird, like little weird area was in, but
eight's kind of old for the P-dub
for sure. And I just never ridden a dirt bike. I think I rode a quad, and I think the story I hear a lot from a lot of girls that start out racing, they're like, yeah, I rode a quad first and I hit a tree and I never wanted to do it again. And that's exactly what I did. And then got a dirt bike a couple years later, and then I just rode for a long time. I never really raced super hard. I didn't practice on the weekends for a long time, maybe trail ride here and there. And then I met Mike Lafferty when I was 16.
Yeah. Real. Hold on. You're getting ahead of the story.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll travel back.
But, yeah. Yeah. So reel it back in. You started telling us there about all your history, getting wet, your feet wet with a four wheeler, switching over there, getting onto the dirt bike and everything. That was right around 8 years old, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, okay. So how old are you now though?
21.
Okay. Yeah. And your hometown?
Millville, New Jersey.
Millville. Okay. And you got any nicknames?
If you ask Michael, there are a bunch of curse words. So I think I won't say them on here, but yeah, I got a couple that Mike might use here and there.
Okay. All right. So now, I mean, you and I know this, and a lot of people at the races and your inner circle kind of know. You know, you just hinted at it there. You keep saying the word Mike, the name Mike, yeah. rather. Tell everybody, who were we talking about, and how did you get caught up with him?
I'm talking about Mike Lafferty. He's a 8-time. I always joke it's almost a 9-time, but I always say 8-time.
I like that. I like champion. That. Almost 9.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know who he was. I'm a little bit younger, and it was, you know, his reign was probably right when I was born, so I wasn't too familiar with who he was. It's really funny. I my dad brought me to his pit one day and was like, hey, we're going to go ride at this guy's pit. And I was like, all right. And my dad was doing some work for him on his van and stuff, and went riding there. And I think the first thing he asked my dad was like, can I bust her balls a little bit? Can I, you know, get her all fired up? And my dad's like, yeah, go for it. And I rode there one day. And then, I think here and there I'd go and hang out and ride, and it never was super serious. And I actually went to a national and did awful. I think it was probably the worst I've ever ridden. And he was actually there, and I rode up to him and I said, I'm ready to get my stuff together. I'm not happy with how I rode, and I want to do good.
Good
and
you.
From there on out, it kind of has been just me and him, like, chucking along, just trying to find the newest, best way to keep improving. And I'm really grateful for it. Yeah. So he's definitely helped me a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's kind of, again, trying to kind of explain this relationship to all the listeners who aren't familiar with you guys. It's like Mike's long lost daughter who,
yes.
you know, it's
the daughter
fun, like,
didn't want.
It, honestly, yeah. But some people might even think it. You know, you guys are very close. You know, you're at the races yeah. together all the time. And, you know, we were both, you know, at the podium there, you know, making sure you're supporting each other until the very yeah. end. So it is, it's an awesome, awesome relationship you guys have there. And you're very, very fortunate for that.
Yeah. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, he's that's, you know, I can only imagine, you know, he's not everybody's coach, you know. You can only tolerate him so long, and you got to have yeah. a strong mind.
Will.
Yeah, as I say, yeah. you got to be pretty strong yeah. willed to be hanging out and taking tips and be so, like, honestly, you would call him your coach, right? You know, in your coach and mentor.
Yeah, mentor, coach. I mean, I always say he's my friend. Because it's crazy that I've explained to a lot of people that I'm like, it's crazy that I feel like I have a 40-year-old that's my best friend, because we do a lot of
yeah.
stuff together.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
everything that I'm into, he's kind of into, and, yeah. and it's cool. Like,
because sure.
he still likes road biking, and he still likes mountain biking.
Yeah.
And, like, working out, and he's still into it, and yep. and I think it's awesome. You know, he's almost 50 years old.
Yeah, he's a big
kid
himself.
He's ready to get after it and ride, and I'm into a lot of the same stuff, and he's got a lot of knowledge that has helped me throughout the years. But yeah, he's basically coach, mentor. He's sometimes my second dad. I texted him happy Father's Day. I was like, you know, at this point,
oh,
I'm like,
cruel.
Well, yeah. So it's really cool.
Yeah. That's that really is awesome. It's really just so unique. It's such you're fortunate. I mean, just, I said, yeah. you know, the how close you guys are, like you just said, you're hanging out, you're doing all the same stuff. It's more than just dirt bikes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, other than that, like, outside of riding and going to the races every weekend, what do you like to do outside of racing?
You know, I think I'd be lying if I said there was much else.
yeah, I kind of got that feeling.
Yeah, a lot of things I do are really centered towards it. I snowboard in the wintertime when I'm okay. around, and I really like doing that.
Cool.
But usually my January and February is now going somewhere else to ride, because Jersey gets real cold.
Yep.
Sometimes December, I think this year in December, I'll get to go out and snowboard. I had to take a couple years away from it. I tore my ACL a couple summers ago and thought I shouldn't go into the whole snowboarding thing.
Not
right
the
out
best
of
thing.
The jump.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I walked away from it for a little bit, but that's something I really like to do. Working out's like my favorite thing to do. I think that's, if I'm not riding or doing something for riding, it's working out.
How about this? How about walk us through a week
a
day? Like, rather, yeah, a week might be hard for you to put together, but walk
yeah.
us through a day.
The day and the week are kind of like, most days are look the same. Mm-hmm. I actually work for my dad. My dad runs a automotive shop in Millville, so I work for him.
Okay.
In the morning time from like 8 to 12. Sometimes before that, I'll go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I go to the gym after work. And then there's usually some type of riding in the mix, or some type of road biking or mountain biking, usually a bicycle, something with two wheels.
Sure.
And then I'll hang out with my friends like later in the night. Usually I try and get everything I need to get done, you know, the first couple hours of the day, and then later you go hang out. In the summertime, I go to the beach a lot. We're really close to the shore, so I'll go to the beach a lot in the summer,
sure.
Sit by the pool, do girl stuff, go shopping. I do some of the girl stuff here and there, go thrifting. So.
you're a regular kid too.
Yeah, for sure.
So then, Pequis, back to the racing background here again, and, you know, catch us up to speed with what life is like now, what series you're doing, you know, what classes you're racing, and, you know, what are your goals for this season?
I think I started doing GNCCs when I was, like, 16, and I never really thought, you know, I remember going to Ironman when I was 16 with my really good friend Kayla and getting lapped. I think it was like my second lap, and getting caught by those girls and getting rev bombed from like 200 feet back. And I was like, wow.
I would never do that.
I never thought I could go that fast. Like being lapped. Yeah. And being like, wow, that is unbelievable.
Yeah. Impossible.
Yeah, and there was a couple years where I chased the women's amateur class at GNCCs for a while, and I did a lot of ECA stuff before Tor was really on the scene. And then Tor's kind of showed up when I think I was just healing from my knee, and I had went to a couple, and I couldn't race them because I was still healing again from my knee. But I remember being like, oh, these are going to be so cool next year. And then I think it was 24, they came out with the full schedule, and then that's when I got to go to most of them, a couple of them. And I was like, wow, I think I'm going to really chase these two. So it's been GNCCs, the WXC class now for the last 2 years, women's pro, and then college boy at Tor. And then I'll do some ECAs here and there, racing A250. So I just try to get myself in the mix, race with the guys at some of the ECA stuff and even the Tors, because that's a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, you're not afraid to go out there and battle it, throw your stuff against the boys.
Yeah.
So of all those series and different types of disciplines, which do you find to be your favorite?
That's a really tough question, because I think I really like the format of Tors, and the more that I do them, the more that I like them, and it's kind of my style. I think riding with Mike, I never did motos growing up until I met him. And then he kind of taught me like structure. He has a lot of structure with his training.
Yep.
Regardless, I think he's always been that way. And it's awesome because it's given me that, you know, mindset. And we're the, you know, go do 20s, go do 30s, go do an hour. So tours really fit that criteria. Whereas at a GNCC, you know, it's a 2 hour sprint, especially at the pace that these girls run at.
Sure.
You can't settle, you know, it's a sprint first lap, and you settle a little bit into a pace, but you're still pushing for that entire 2 hours. And I think I perform my best at GNCCs and tours. I think I almost perform better at tours sometimes because the track is really easy for me to pick up. Like I could go out and, you know, do a college boy moto and you know, hit my marks.
Sure.
Whereas a GNCC is like,
yeah, hitting it most of it blind. Know,
yeah, 10 to 10. I'll pedal the track and look around, but you're 10 to 12 miles. You're really trying to remember most of it and hit your marks. But it's a little bit more difficult, and I think one makes the other easier, and then vice versa. Like GNCCs can be so tough.
Yeah, it seems like sometimes you might only get a lap or two in at some of them now.
Yeah, like some of the mutters have made my life way harder at those races, but then way easier when I come home. Like I raced Roar this past weekend, and it was muddy
there?
and I didn't have the best day up there. I usually race the A250 class, and I was a little competitive the first couple laps, and then I started to overheat my bike. I just made some just different choices with my bike, and I started to overheat really bad, and I had to go back to the pit and get coolant and then go back out. And then I got lapped, and it was just not my best, my best choice of the day, but it was good. And I think the track was really cool, and it was muddy, and it was the first time I'd been to Roar muddy. It's usually dry. It's black
terrible.
Dirt. It's hot. but it was cool. Like racing it muddy. It was technical. And I think, you know, going to GNCCs and muddy races like that, because I feel like we've been to more muddy ones than dry ones. I feel like coming home sometimes, they seem very simple, like the races back at home. But then the pace of tours have elevated my sprint speed.
That's what I was gonna ask. Yeah. So how do you feel like it benefits you? Like, you know, the short sprints here at the GNCCs. How, like, which do you feel? Do you feel like you get better, you know, building your endurance, and then you come back and it's like you can blow the doors off a 30-minute moto? Or do you feel like, you know, those 30-minute sprints are really helping you to charge when you need to in that longer race?
Yeah, I think both. Yeah. The sprint of a tour and the start and stop, especially doing two classes, which I recommend. It could be very difficult, especially in like a doubleheader weekend, but I recommend a lot of people to do that because it's tough mentally and physically. Like, for after Buds, I was like, wow, like I'm going to do all that again tomorrow. But the start and stop that many times, like four times in a day, it, you know, you're learning that aggression off the start and, you know, first corner battling and like the sprint speed. And then even like the Endurocross has made me so much more comfortable at GNCCs, because there are sections where, you know, like at Crawfordsville, there's some stuff that we get thrown to. And I think the Endurocross has made me way more comfortable in scenarios like that.
Nice. Love
even
to hear
places
that.
Like Bear Creek with like the rocky hill climb we had last year. That was sick.
And I remember. Yeah. You were like a roller coaster going up the tracks there on that hill. I don't think you stopped once. Like, or ever. I mean, you had a tire or a suspension setting, or I don't know what it was, but you and Mike both were running cheater bikes up that hill the whole weekend.
Yeah. It was awesome. Like, and we fixated on it, and we set out to do something that weekend and then try some stuff.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like
the hill. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. So I think both. I think and then GNCCs, you're right, the endurance, it makes 30 minutes kind of not – it makes the 30 minutes easier to sprint.
Sure.
Because I'm in shape for 2 hours, and then I can come back and sprint as hard as I can for 30 minutes, and I'm not beat by the end of the 30 minutes. And
here's a question for you. What do you think about some people say that the moto is just a little too short, you know, and that you're just finding their rhythm, you know, right around maybe like that 20-minute mark, and then they come through and they get white flagged, you know, and it's like, do you feel like are you able to settle in quickly, or does it take you a minute or two, or a lap or two rather?
See, I get more comfortable the more and more that I do it. Especially with the doing both classes, I think I treat College Boy that way a little bit. I use it as not as a warm up, but definitely a let's check it out and let's see what this is all about and set the tone a little bit. I think there's been days where my women's moto has been a little bit shorter than others, but I've never felt like I needed to get warmed up, or I was getting warmed up. I've had definitely to shake off arm pump, and that's definitely, I think, something that a lot of people experience, where they're just shaking their arm pump off and then the moto's over and then they have to go out and do it again. And that's tough. That is really tough. I think it's all like, I think based every person has a different experience, you know?
Yeah.
So I think they're good. I like the 30 minutes. I like 30 minutes.
Okay. And you mentioned arm pump there. I know you ride it pretty much every single day, but do you still struggle with arm pump?
It depends the race. So some of the faster tours, I tend to get it a little bit, especially if I don't stretch my arms out, or like, you know, there's a lot of like lactic acid and stuff built up, and I try and just get a lot of it moving.
Okay.
And,
yeah. Give us some tips.
But I feel like warming up is definitely a big thing that has helped me and keeping my body hot. And then honestly, bike setup is a really big thing. I think arm pump stems from a lot of the way your bike is set up and how hard you're going to hold on. So if, you know, your bike is a little bit faster than you or a little bit better than you, sometimes you can get arm pump, or then there's the opposite where your bike is, you're better than your bike and you override it, and then you can get it too. So there's been races like GNCCs the beginning of the year that are super fast, like Florida's really fast, and I tend to get it there, or places like Camp Coker. There's been a couple tours this year that I got it at, and then there's some where I expected to and I didn't. So sometimes it's a one-off day, and there's always you know, rumors here and there, like if you lift weights and if you pick up a lot of weight. And I never
Do you avoid any type of training?
I lift weights, not saying I lift like I'm a bodybuilder PR, but I lift heavy here and there.
Sure.
I feel like as a smaller girl, if I'm going to ride a 250, I have to be a little bit stronger.
Right on.
So I've never experienced that. There's been days where, or weeks where I don't touch a weight and then I go and race and I have arm pump. And then there's been weeks where I lift every weight in the gym and I don't get it. And I'm like, okay. So I don't know. I think it's all, you know, again, one of those things, some people have it worse than others. And it's really hard to overcome. It's a really tough, battle.
It is.
Especially on the course.
Yeah. Especially I hear people that are, you know, like yourself that ride, train hard every day. And then, you know, they'll just go out and struggle, or a race will be just ruined. Like they say, they can't come off the track, so I can't hold on to the bike.
Yeah, it's tough. Like it's especially, you know, at a tour when you want to jump out that first lap,
yeah,
and you get it that first lap and everybody in your class.
Yeah, you got the adrenaline's pumping.
Yeah.
Your chest is, you know, heart's about to beat out of your chest.
Yeah, ready to go. And it's like, you can't hold on, but you have every, you know, all the talent in the world and all the, and you've, you know, worked for it. And then arm pump kind of sets you back. I know a lot of kids, there's a lot of people at GNCCs that there's a surgery for it and they get
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? That's crazy talk to me.
Yeah,
You're not thinking about it, are you?
No, I don't get about enough to where I would think about it. But I know people that have, and
yeah.
I know some, and there's still a percentage where it could come back, or
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
like,
it's not. It doesn't even work that well.
Yeah.
That is a. I mean, it's like anything, and it, you know, motocross or dirt bike racing is not unique in the fact that you know, people will do anything to get ahead, including modifying their bodies.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I think that it shows grit and true dedication. It really does. And I commend people for going that way, but then it's also like, there's a route where I think you can fix it.
Yeah.
I mean, and this, it's all relative. So, yeah. And there's definitely scenarios where you can't fix it, but I think a lot of it has to do with like the way your bike is set up.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure how to set it up, it takes a little while to understand some of the things, but it's worth it. It's worth your while understanding.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. And I feel like we mentioned it a couple times. I'd have to go back and listen to some of the previous episodes. But I know I've talked about bike setup before on the show, and it just doesn't get like, you know, especially for a new rider, and even somebody who might just be like a weekend warrior who's been riding dirt bikes their whole life, but you know, has never had the suspension set, or has never, you know, serviced the suspension. You know, the fork seal blew out the year after they bought the bike, and then they never fixed it, type of thing. You know, and I see that all too often. I feel like, because I used to be one of those people until you know, Tegan showed me how to basically maintain a bike properly, and you know, how much of a difference it would be. Because, you know, when we were kids, you know, Tegan always had the raddest setups, and, you know, we'd go ride, and then you get on his bike and you'd be like, what the hell? Like, my bike sucks. Yeah. I hate riding this thing. And then he would get on and be like, well, yeah, it's because this is all blown out. Your handlebars are turned down. Your clutch lever is way out of position. He's like, no wonder. He's like, you got chopper bars on this thing, dude. You know, like, there's just so many little things that the more that I feel like the more time you spend around people who are in the know, the more times you're at the track or at the races, you know, you start to pick up on little things and start to learn, like you say, bike setup. And I wish, you know, maybe I'll have to do a whole show or something with Tegan, and maybe do like a walk around, you know, do a YouTube video or something, you know, on how he would set up his bike for woods racing, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I think people could really benefit from that.
For sure. I think there's a lot of little things that people just aren't, like, they're clueless, and you can't blame them. I was clueless too. I didn't know anything until I met Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, and there's so much with suspension that I never. Michael and Scotty used to sit in the pit. We'd all sit and ride, and I was younger, and I didn't know a lot. I just showed up to ride, and not much has changed. I still just do that. they would start speaking this other language. It sounded like hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand it, like rebound and compression and sag and, you know, high speed. And I would sit there and I couldn't grasp a lot of it. And then I'm so glad I've learned a lot of that stuff now. And then there's even simple things like bleeding the air out of your forks.
Yeah.
A lot of people, if they have a 6500 kit in their forks, or they have spring and they don't know to bleed their air out of their forks, they could be riding around with shit forks and they don't know.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and the same thing, like bar positioning and the bars you run. And a lot of people just run what is most popular at the time, or what other people are doing. And unfortunately, we're not all the same. Like me, you know, I'm a 5 foot two, 120 pound girl versus, you know, somebody like, I don't know, Ranger. Ranger's 6 foot, whatever, yeah. 6 foot
yeah.
nine.
Yeah.
Lengthy
Junior,
and tall.
Little baby giraffe.
Yeah. And it's like, he's definitely going to run different types, like different bars.
For
different,
sure. Yeah. Different,
a different C.
Yeah.
A bunch of that stuff. And it's what works for you. And I think mm-hmm. that's really important. I think that's trying to figure that out and taking the time to figure that out.
That leads me to a good question here. Are there any unique mods or anything that you do specifically to your bike that maybe somebody else might not do, or that somebody else might look at and be like, that's kind of goofy?
I think a lot of the stuff that we've done to it is pretty standard for the most part. I'll swap between a low seat and a stock seat here and there.
Okay.
If a track's a little bit more technical, I'll run, like at a lot of the mud races or rocky races, I sometimes prefer a lower seat. I mean, for the most part, it's pretty standard. I try not to fall too far off the, get too far out of the feel like, because once you start to modify too much, then the bike is,
yeah, start getting away from OEM.
Yeah. You start to just not, it's not standard, and it's not, and it, we're, again, it's one of those things, it's all relative. We're,
sure.
we're all different. So, I mean, we change a little bit here and there, but nothing too crazy. I've ran lowered suspension before. When I first met Michael, actually, my forks were lowered and my shock. And he was like, you're not doing yourself a favor here. You're working against it. I think you need to go to full length stuff. Maybe the shock could be a little bit lower to help you out. And I still to this day, like, recommend that to people, not to lower their stuff, just because you do lose travel, even as much as you want to be able to touch. If you're moving, being able to touch shouldn't be that big of a problem.
And this is a kind of just a question that is, I used to do the rapid fire thing at the end of every podcast. I kind of stopped doing it, but this just reminded me. One of the questions that I had in there was flags or full wraparound handguards.
Ooh, if you ask my dad, Chop would say wraparound.
Okay.
Because he wanted me to protect my hands,
sure.
for a long time. I was only allowed to run flags this year. Mm. I was granted access. I'm so glad. I would say flags all day.
Really? Okay.
If
so that's what I was
going
to say. So now this is a good time to ask you. So you like what you like them?
Yeah. I put them on at a moto. I put them on at Field of Dreams. I live 5 minutes from there, and mm-hmm. I went there with wraparounds and put flags on, I think, the next moto. And I think my bars actually were levitating. It was wonderful. I was like, why have I not ran flags? And Michael's just like, kind of shaking his head, because he knows the game too. He's like, if you're gonna run flag, you have to be smart.
Yeah.
And I would do, you know, the ping pong with the wraparounds, like
mm-hmm,
you hit
yeah.
one tree and then
yeah,
you get
a little
another.
Lazy. It gives you a little bit more yeah. confidence once you put those flags on there, and you know, you kind of lean in or try to get skinny in between some bony trees. You're like, okay, you get one good, you know, lick on your
yeah.
pinky, and you're like, okay, these are not
yeah.
wraparounds.
Right, yeah, it reminds you for sure. And my hands are a little bit smaller, so I think I get
yeah,
kinda, away with it.
Yeah, where, you get to sneak in on the bars a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're so small that it's like it'll hit the bar, and I'm like, well, that was really close to my finger, but luckily it wasn't my finger. So
okay, how about this? Are you running cut down bars at all?
Just a little bit.
Just
it's
little
like,
bit.
Yeah, just a smidge. We used to go crazy when I was doing ECAs a lot, because
yeah.
it's a lot of single track.
Mm-hmm.
But with GNCCs, I think it's just like a hair. You know, it's not much.
Gotcha. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were like, you know, taking an inch off either side,
yeah,
get
imagine.
Their smaller
yeah.
stature.
Yeah.
So nothing else
yeah.
for the, you know, nothing else you do to try to, you know, customize the bike for your size?
I mean, I run 999s and they lay a little bit in my lap, and I think I just do that because I'm a little bit smaller. It's really hard with a 250. I think I'm really meant for a 105. If I could race a 105 with a 250 motor,
yeah,
I would.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't, and I think racing the 250 kind of it's got its perks for sure,
mm-hmm.
and I really like it, so not too much. I like the way they are, the way they come.
Okay. And have you you know, ridden a 350 at all, or is the 250 you know where you want to stay for now?
I've ridden Mike's from like the top of the pit to the truck.
Okay.
But his rides, like, it's got 2x4s.
I was gonna say it's probably got some ridiculous setup that only he can ride.
Yes, and the seats like a million. I don't even think my feet touch the pegs when I sit on that seat. Yeah. So, I've never really ridden his around.
Okay.
I think I'll probably be with a 250 for a while, because sometimes even that rides me. There's races where I'm like, wow, this thing's getting really heavy, or this is a lot. But then there's races where I feel like I'm riding a super mini. So whatever.
It all depends, I guess. Like,
yeah.
What is your favorite tour track?
Ooh. I unfortunately miss a few here and there. This past year so far, I wish I was going to Rocket this weekend, because I think this track's going to be sick.
Yeah, I wasn't going to mention it, but you have bigger plans, huh?
I'm sad. I'll be at Snowshoe, but I'll be watching scoring for sure. I'll be at Bear Creek. So I think, honestly, this past year so far, Buds has probably been my favorite. And then last year, I really liked Bear Creek.
Yeah, Bear Creek was a Woods Riders dream for sure. Yeah. That was definitely one of the more challenging and technical courses of the entire season.
It was like the rocky hill, and then when you got to the bottom, it was all rutted out and muddier than hell. And I was like, this is perfect. Every scenario, like every possible outcome and scenario, it was great. It was great. So definitely Bear Creek last year, and then Buds so far this year.
And then had you ever been to Buds before? Did you make it last year? I don't remember if you were there or not.
I didn't get to go last year. I rode there I think I rode there a little bit before that. But I'd never really ridden that moto track or anything. And then the Woods was awesome there. Tegan can really lay out a track, and I've said it a couple times on the podium. He is really good at that. And he's really good at like putting the enduro cross in the right spot, and then like kind of reading the terrain and knowing how it's going to develop. It's great. I haven't been to a tour yet that I haven't really liked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There is, I know he'll be happy to hear that. It's an art. He's got a knack for it. And, we can do a lot of other things great at the races, but if the layout sucks, you know, the racers aren't going to be happy and nobody's going to want to come back. But that's just another part of, why we have been so successful, is because the mastermind goes in there and he can just, like, he just looks at the Woods differently than everybody else. And that like, part of the reason why he was so successful at racing through the Woods is because he just looks at it differently. And that's, lines that don't exist to normal people, Tegan sees them and is somehow able to string it together. And that translates to when he's laying out the course. You know, he just thinks of what would he do, is kind of the way he's going through it, or what would be fun, or then he kind of thinks, because most of his friends, the rest of us, are all a bunch of sea guys and weekend warriors. He's like, all right, now, because this is what we do when we were kids. Like you would have Tegan's line. Tegan would build some ridiculous jump, and then we would have the go around. So it's like literally nothing has changed. He has just found out a way to put his skills on display for the rest of the world to enjoy. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is. I love hearing that stuff too, because it makes me feel good for him, because I know how hard he worked. He was there all weekend. I'm getting texts right now in the group chat. He's been there all week. He's cleaning up some a little bit of a mess that was left behind by some previous track renters. Yeah, a little bit of a mess in the Woods there. Tegan's winding up some caution tape and cleaning up some ruts and stuff. And before we make some more. But I know he was behind the brush hog, and seems like his his new habit now is breaking skid steer glass every round. He breaks a window out. I think he's 2 for 2 now, blowing out the skid steer glass. Yeah, there's a lot that goes in on behind the scenes that everybody doesn't, not everybody gets to see. But he is, constantly working on the series. This is his full time job now, and this is. Hopefully, for a long time, we got to get some more tracks. That's why I'm pumped to go. I know, like I said, Rocket has had some traffic in there before, but I'm pumped. I've never been there myself. Tour hasn't been there. And, as far as I'm concerned, it's all, fresh terrain and never been mowed before or never been cut until we're there.
Exactly. And I have a lot of respect, because it's different. I mean, if anybody listening, you go sit in the Woods and you just look where you're sitting and think, what would be the most efficient way to cut through this woods or make a track through this? And I've sat, where the places I ride and
yeah,
and
you're like, oh, I'm gonna cut a new line in here.
Yeah. And it's takes a lot more work than the average eye sees. And a lot of people come to these races and, And it's crazy, you know, sometimes you go to these races and people have so much to say with little regard to how much work it takes.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, you know, and not everybody's going to know. And they don't have to know.
Exactly.
Like, they don't. They don't.
It's, yeah, we're not doing it for the recognition. But
nope.
It is definitely, you know, feels good when people do notice it and say, you know, give you know, a little, you know, pat on the back here and there. It feels good.
For sure. Yeah. They're good. And the couple that I had went to, the first year, I think it was three of them.
Yeah. The Triple Crown.
Yeah. Yep. And I remember pulling into, it was a Mudder. It was the last one. I think it was, Motorsports Park.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And I remember seeing so many people there. And I think it was the first physical one I'd been to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is sick. And like walking around and the track was a mess.
Yeah.
But
there was a
buzz. What were you going to do?
Yeah.
It was
place
probably
was buzzing.
Yeah. And it was probably so sick to ride. Like muddy conditions in Jersey are fun. And I will stand by that forever.
Yeah.
So the track was probably sick just to the naked eye. You're like, wow,
yeah,
that looks
gnarly.
Crazy. But,
yeah.
But it was so well put together. And it was like the first one I'd been to. And I was like, wow, I've been to other races that they've been around for years and they're not this well put together. So a lot of respect to all you guys that put the work in.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it goes a long way. It doesn't it doesn't fall on deaf ears. Like I said, there's a lot of people, you know, not just Egan, whole crew of guys back there that just love dirt bikes, and you know, this is just their weekend gig. And it just feels good when we're there doing it. You know, that's the other thing too.
Yeah.
And that's why it's, man, I get excited just thinking about it. Cause it's just so much fun to be there. And it's just, the energy is always so damn infectious.
I noticed that. Yeah. I really do notice about those races. Like, it's not only the tracks that are really good, but it's the atmosphere. The atmosphere is really fun all the time. I've been to a lot of like serious places and everybody's so locked in and it's so serious. And then you go to somewhere like Tor and everybody's equally as aggressive and ready to race, but it's so much fun and everybody's so upbeat and it's a great mood all around. It's awesome.
Yeah. I love the community that we're putting together here. It's just, it's fun to see everybody, you know, at the races that are, you know, they live, 200 miles apart from each other, but they get to hang out at the Tor race.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like, you know, it's your own, you know, unique little group of friends, whether it's, you know, the Pee Wee kids I see running around. You mentioned the Rip and Riley Huff, you know, I see her running around with her friends, and then it's like the next generation above her. There's like the teenagers that are running around. There's like all the little cliques, you know, and then there's the pro guys and the fast young kids coming up, you know, and then there's the women's. Yeah, you guys are a very tight group. I love to see that too. It seems like, again, this is my first time being so heavily involved with the series. You know, I've been around racing and everything before, but this is like my first time seeing the families and the cliques and the culture and the community that is being created. And the one thing that I've noticed, I don't know if this is like this other places, but it's just so normal for us, is the women's classes at Tor. It's like you guys and the girls, like, it's just like there's a lot of you, number one, and number two, it seems like you guys have all got each other's backs.
Yeah, for sure. It's awesome to see that many women line up. The women's B class, the women's C class, the women's pro class, like you know, generations down, all the young classes. It's so cool to see that many girls line up. And you're right, everybody is really cool with each other. I mean, regardless of what happens on the track, everybody comes off and everybody's cool and everybody's friends and everybody's fair. And I respect that. It's great. And you don't see that everywhere. Sometimes you show up to races and there's no women. And
yeah,
that's
what I remember. That's how I remember it being, you know, growing up. There was never any, it was one or two women. And, you know, they were the same ones every weekend.
Yep. And you know, you show up to Tours and you don't know really who's there, and everybody's equally as, you know, ready to race and aggressive about it. And it really is awesome. And the more you guys are really good at, and I, you know, I've posted so many, you know, things on my Instagram about Tor, and I think I had a lot of people clicking after Buds, like me holding big checks, and they were like, where are you? Where are you? That is a lot of money for a women's pro class, like GP style, because, you know, people compare, and of course everybody knows, you know, the women, not saying we just don't make as much as the men, and that's just how it's always been, and that I understand it. And but I had a lot of people, even girls from GNCCs, being like, that's a lot of money for women's pro. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, hey.
It's awesome. And it's awesome. Like, I noticed that about you guys from the jump, and I've never done it for money, but, you know, nobody respects the women as much as you guys do, and it's awesome.
We'll love to hear that, because, you know, we do try to cater to everybody. We try to make everything, not just the kids or the, you know, the pro men, but we try to cater to all the women's, whether it's the ladies of tour or, for like you said, you mentioned the B class, the C classes. We have tried to put something together for all of you guys. And
and the grind on the podiums. I mean, you interview like the top three of, I'm pretty sure it's, is it women's B that you interview?
I take up women's pro. I take up all of the, I'm glad you asked. Let me run you through it here. And it's, it starts off with all of the peewees, because I only do that one moto, so we get them done first thing, and I do every single one of the peewee classes, first through third. So there's like, I think there's like maybe like 12 of them or something like that, maybe like 10. I don't know. I really don't know. And then after peewee, then I will do, all of youth. I didn't even think about that. So all of the youth, every single class, women's youth, and all the boys. That's, you know, everybody on a 65 or bigger, all the way up to the super minis, the 105s, and then so again, that's another 12 classes there. And then so then after that, I get a little bit of a break after that, and then it's Pro 125. So there's the three from Pro 125. I'll do the three from Pro Vet, the three from Women's Pro, and then the three from Pro Class to finish the night.
Got you. Yeah, it means a lot to the younger generation, like, and the younger crowd.
Yeah. Oh, that's,
and it's cool. It's so cool. They love it, and it's perfect. They love it.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I mean, it's my job, and that's why it's literally my favorite thing to do. It's just getting the kids up there and you know, trying to get some of them out of their shell. You know, you know, it's more. We're doing more than just you know, giving everybody a place to come and ride their dirt bike. You know, when those kids come up there and they get a chance to, you know, it's so funny. Some of them are, you know, they're following me. Yeah, they're following me around before they're coming up, and they're talking my ear off. And then it gets time for their interview, and they completely clam up. They have nothing to say. They're done talking. Yeah. But then as soon as they're off the podium, they're right back up to talking my ear off.
It.
Yeah. It's the cutest thing.
You're like, how was your race?
It. Yeah. And you're good.
Like, good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. How was
Who do
your...
you like to thank? Mom and dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just get the good response for everything. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Where are you today, buddy? Good.
Good.
Like that's my...
What part of the track do you like? Good.
Yeah. You hit with the... I don't know.
It's perfect. I remember being Kate Nash and Ellie Nash, actually, their dad,
Dave, crushing it.
He used to interview with the ECA at the ECA for the youth kids, and I remember hearing him through the scoring trailer racing, like going through scoring and just screaming into the microphone and then coming off and him interviewing, and it still to this day I think about that because it just
lifetime memory, you know. Yeah, that's
they appreciate it, and it's even when they're nervous up there, man, it's great. It's
yeah,
great.
You gotta make them feel like a rock star. That's my my only goal, is to make every, like, a couple goals, but, you know, make everybody feel included, and then when I get them on the podium, just try to make them feel like a rock star, because it is their moment. You know, for some of them, it might be the only time, you know, that they ever have that, you know, and like you just mentioned, that could be the memory that they carry with them for a really
for
long
sure.
time.
Yeah,
for the rest,
I'm 21,
the rest
and those, I remember those memories. I remember my first one it was the NEOC. God, it was like my first mini race, and then I raced the Pee Wee race or something like that. And I came off, and I barely finished the race, and they interviewed me for some reason. And asked me how many times I fell, and I said a million.
Yeah.
And I remember to this day, like, that was the best memory ever. And I didn't even do good, and they interviewed me, and it was great. And it's like, that matters to people, and it matters to kids, and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, we're doing it for the kids, and
for sure.
I love that I get this opportunity. It's an easy job. It's a fun job, and you know, giving kids a little memory for the you know, rest of their life is just you know, that doesn't even really, like, I don't even think about that, but it, like, when someone does remind me, like, we're having this conversation now, and I think about it, it's like, you know, this is probably one of the cooler things I'll ever get to do in my life, you know, is interview kids and talk about dirt bikes. You know, it's just the coolest thing ever.
It's simple, but it's cool.
Yeah,
for sure.
It is. And it's so easy. Like, that's what, you know, people come up and, you know, always, you know, how are you tired? Like, are you, is your mouth getting dry, or like, you're going to slow down soon? And I'm like, no, this is like, I'm just getting started. Like, yeah, I'm just getting, you guys must be new here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, so this was actually a good place. Two things. I want to ask you what your favorite tour memory was to wrap things up. But before I do that, we started talking about, you know, the friendships and the community that we've created here at Temple Off-Road. And I just wanted to touch on the accident over Father's Day weekend with Melanie Picard. Melanie and her sister and her parents, they started coming down to the tour races earlier this year. I remember them walking through the extreme section at Mad Bass, which I believe was their first one. And I could tell that there was something different about them. I didn't recognize them. And two, you know, they were walking through with their dad, going through, picking lines out in the extreme section. I could tell that they were, you know, pretty serious, but I was also confused because I had no idea who they were. You know, lo and behold, later on, find out they had traveled all the way down from up north. I don't know exactly. I think they're Massachusetts. I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me, but they're from
I think it's New Hampshire.
It's New Hampshire? Okay.
New Hampshire.
Got it. So, yeah, so the Melanie, Mallory, and Picards are from up New Hampshire, and they had started to really become part of our Temple Off-Road family, started to make a lot of friends, and you know, you could see that they kind of had a little bit of an infectious energy around the races. And unfortunately, on Father's Day weekend, there was an accident. I don't have all the details, but Melanie, bad enough, Melanie had to be airlifted to the hospital. It was a head injury and multiple surgeries. So that should tell you guys enough, you know, all you need to know. For the time being. And, you know, we're just asking that, you know, you send positive vibes, good energy, and keep them in your prayers. Melanie is fighting right now. She is stable, and she is fighting, but she has got a long road to recovery. There is a GoFundMe. I have linked it in the tour Instagram bio. So if you just go in there and click on the link, and you can go right to the GoFundMe. Just to help out with some of the medical bills and, you know, lost wages and everything. And this, you can imagine the immense impact it's going to have on their family, you know, moving forward here over the next couple months as she begins her recovery. So thinking about you guys, the whole family, you know, it's not just a joke or a show. We're serious when we say, you know, you guys become part of the community, and this is a perfect example of it. You know, we're trying to come together, like I said. So send a shout out, an Instagram post, or, you know, make a donation if you are so inclined. And again, that is Melanie Picard. And do yourself a favor, check out the Instagram link and learn a little bit about her story. Did you have a chance to talk to anybody or anything on their side? Did you hear anything, Carly?
I went on Instagram and I seen a post and I wasn't too sure. Like it seemed a little bit, it seemed fresh when I saw it and I wasn't sure. And then somebody posted, I think her sister posted the GoFundMe, and then I reached out to her sister and was like, can you send us an address if you want to send some stuff? It's a shame. Injury is so difficult and it's unfortunately like, as much as we all try and avoid it, it's so unpredictable. Yeah. And it's luckily the good thing in her favor, she's young, mm-hmm. and your body is way more receptive to, you know, recovering at such a young age. And
do you know exactly how old she is?
I'm pretty sure she's the younger one. Yes, and she's 17.
Okay.
16 or 17. And then I think Mallory is 19.
That's what I thought as well.
But God, you know, I haven't heard much, and it is very scary. You know, God's with her, and I think I'm glad that she's doing better. You know, I read the GoFundMe at first, and it seemed fresh, and I was like, wow, this just happened.
Yeah.
And then reached out to the sister, and you know, want to keep keep us, I hope they keep continuous, keep us updated, because I'd really like to see how she's doing.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we're going to, I'm sure, get a couple updates.
Yeah.
You know, as time goes on here, you're just going to give them some space right now and let them do what they need to. But there's a few folks up there that are just trying to keep us in the loop here so that we can, you know, make sure that we're doing our part, like I said, as a community here to support them.
For sure. For sure.
So, all right. Now, I'm going to wrap this up here. This was a great interview, honestly. We've been chatting it up here. I usually try to do them like right around 45 minutes to an hour, and we're crushing it right on time here, 50 minutes. So
nice.
Let's wrap here. Tell me your favorite tour memory. Take a minute if you need to think about it.
Yeah, I was trying to think about it a little bit. Honestly, I don't think I really have a very specific one. I think, you know, every weekend I make new ones, and it's so cool being around my mom and my dad. I mean, they do a lot for me, and they've sacrificed a lot to help me get to even the tours. You know, they just chop is closing the shop up, and we roll out and we're going racing. And I think every weekend I get to make more memories with my parents, and then obviously my friends and everybody at the races, and Mike and his wife, and all those people mean a lot to me, and it's cool that I continue to make memories and new ones all the time. I probably have a million in my brain. Just me and Mike on the podium shooting shit. I mean, there's so many great ones, just hanging out, eating dinner, just watching Supercross. There's always something new happening, and they're awesome. It's definitely a good atmosphere and a good environment. So,
yeah, that's a message for anybody out there who's thinking about, you know, if you're listening and you've got some youngsters at home and maybe you're new to racing and you want to get your kids involved. You know, Carly just she just hit the nail on the head there as far as, you know, building relationships with your family and your friends. But what I definitely pulled out of that is, you know, you sound pretty down to earth, and you sound like you know what's important to you. You know, being with your mom and your dad at the races, you know that you're making memories here that are going to last, you know, over the rest of your life. Like, this is you're a young woman, but you know these are still formative years. You know they're out there hanging out with parents and everything at a young age still, and this is it's just awesome. You know, that's the best thing about the racing is it doesn't matter how old you are. Boy or girl, man or woman, you know, that you can come out to the races from the time that you're with your family. Again, this is family, but I'm trying to focus on here. You can come out from, bring your son out when he's 4 years old, and then next thing you know, you're going to be in the 40 or 50 plus class, and he's going to be 16, 17 years old, and it's going to just be that it's just, there's so many different dynamics to it. You know, it's not just one way to do dirt bike racing, and it's awesome. Love it.
Yeah. It is. It's a blessing. And I think a lot of people, you know, just step outside and go to a dirt bike race. And I think you learn a lot more in a weekend than you could in a week, you know, just doing what you usually do. It's, you learn a lot about other people and a lot about what you're doing at the race. It's awesome. And getting to spend time with people you care about, it's definitely, you know, important. So,
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate you sharing that. And, Carly, I appreciate you giving us a little bit of an insight and a look into your life, you know, telling us about your, you know, your day-to-day, your workout routine, your riding routine, your coaching, all that stuff, your family life. I learned a lot, and, you know, I know you've got so many fans. This was an easy one for me to pick, so I'm glad you were enthusiastic and jumped on here. People are going to, you know, people eat this stuff up when they hear from, you know, the top racers in the class, you know, the women's pro championship leader for the time being. You're going to be missing it this weekend, but something tells me you've probably already done some math.
I try to not look at points, but I haven't. I let the wind take me wherever it wants.
Well, I will say this. This is going to be an interesting weekend. It's anybody's race. If you're not going to be there, and I hate to say it, but Melanie is second place in the points right now, so she will obviously not be returning this season. So, gosh, it's going to be a matter of who shows up this weekend. I'm excited now that we were talking about it. Didn't think about that.
It's going to be good racing. You're going to have a lot to talk about this weekend.
Yeah, a drama guaranteed.
I'm sure you'll have plenty to say.
I always do. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's great. It's great. I love when you go up on the podium with any of them and you start shooting your shit. It's great. It's so good.
All right, Carr, before I let you go here for the evening, anything else that you might have forgotten? Anybody that you want to give a shout out to, you know, kind of end with my podium spiel here, who are your sponsors, who's supporting you, and anything else you want to say before we wrap?
Yeah, I mean, I've always said my mom, my dad, they definitely get me there, and Mike and Brandy and Scotty, all those guys. There's definitely a lot of people locally who really helped me out. And then, you know, just FXR, Kyle Wolf, Precision Concepts. there's a bunch of people. Anthony Finucci, Ryan Janney Electric. God, I'm forgetting a good amount. Actually, this is a good opportunity to use my cellular device.
And look at the list.
Yeah, look at the list. Endure Engineering, Core Motographics, Dunlop, Hammer Nutrition, Factory Connection, P3 Carbon, Chopper Automotive, Designer Wraps, Twin Air, Scott Motorsports, Guts Racing, you know, there's a Homestead Plumbing and Heating, Brian Page. There's a lot of people who really help, you know, help me get to do this stuff. And I really appreciate, you know, you giving me the opportunity to kind of talk my shit on here. So
yeah,
it was
no
cool.
Doubt.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah. Hopefully, maybe we'll get you back on here again soon. And
yeah, for sure.
Hey, good luck this weekend at Snowshoe. Make us all proud.
Thank you.
And tell all the girls down there on the starting road, tell them all to see you on a tour line. And
yeah,
then we'll
yeah.
see how fast they are.
Copy that. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Right on. All right, Carly. Have a great night. I'll catch up with you soon, kid.
You too. Thank you. See ya.
All right, we just wrapped up with Carly Lee, your pro class points leader here at Temple Off Road. And now I'm going to give Tegan a ring here. Doesn't know I'm calling. See if we can get him on the line here.
Hello.
Hello.
What's going on?
We're live.
We're live. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Gotcha. Perfect timing here. So I just wrapped up an awesome interview with Carly Lee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. And I figured while I have all the gear out here, might as well get you on the horn because you were sending me over some instructions. So I wanted to just get a quick rundown from you. Tell us a little bit about the weekend here. Anything that you want to make known. Let's get it out there. What's it looking like out there?
Oh, it's looking pretty good. We got a lot of rain, scattered showers every day we've been here.
Yep. Yep.
It's making, you know, it tough to build the track, but I think it's going to make for good racing conditions. We got another small shower tomorrow afternoon, and then that should be it with the rain. So that should be good. As far as a trail goes, more fast, open, flowy, got a sweet grass track. The Rocket Raceway crew has been here all week working on the track.
Yeah. What's the moto track like? I've never been up there before.
It's good. It looks like fast and flowy, ups and downs, a lot of elevation to it. Some
big
jumps,
little jumps. Okay.
got a little mix of everything.
Cool.
So. And another cool feature is they have an enduro cross track here that we incorporated.
Nice.
So that would be cool. They have a lot of property here. So when us only needing a 2.5 mile loop, we avoided a lot of the rocks.
Nice.
So that's going to be pretty cool. The Peewees, they got their own whole separate track.
Okay. Separate track.
Incorporates a Peewee moto track. They're Peewee track here at Rocket, and then some all fresh trail for the little guys, and then same thing for the big bikes, all brand new trail. A lot of ups and downs, and woods here are pretty cool in the far back. That's where we're going to be running for the guys that race ECA. Nothing behind the parking lot where it was Rocky. It's all going to be on the other side of the grass track there in the open older woods.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you ever race there before back in the day?
I have. I don't really remember it all that much, to be honest.
Okay. Well, did you just put me on speakerphone or something?
No, we don't know what you're talking about.
Am I back? Where? Can you hear me?
No, he totally can't hear you.
I can hear you, Bree.
He was away from the truck. We started the truck.
We're all going to dinner right now.
Okay, perfect. Who we got? Everybody say hi. We're live. Who do we got?
We got Kane next to me.
What's happening?
Crazy Kane.
Yep, and then Bree, and that's it.
That's crazy. So for all the people that don't believe it, Kane actually does show up early and stay late to clean this place up and build the track. That's crazy. Well, quiet. I was quiet there. I was gonna say no, not even a little laugh.
No.
You guys must have worked really hard today.
We're too
tired. Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, you worked really hard today.
It's hot and sweaty.
Yeah, it was humid as hell out this way. So wait, where exactly are you guys? Where is Rocket?
Three Springs, PA. I know you're familiar, Luke. We went to Racetown Lake.
Yeah.
The same exit as Racetown.
Okay. So just a ride out the turnpike.
I think we're only 20 miles from Racetown Lake as a crow. Something around there.
Got it. Okay. That's a good reference point for everybody then.
Yep. Fort Littleton exit off the turnpike. I'm sure everybody's familiar with the tunnels on the turnpike. Basically, after the third tunnel, you get off.
Okay, got it. And any special instructions upon entering the facility?
There is some crazy back roads. I was going to post directions and then also arrow it. The biggest thing being when you get off the turnpike, you want to hang a left.
Got it.
And then your GPS should pretty much get you there from after it reroutes.
Okay. After it reroutes, okay.
Yeah.
Side note.
Yeah. So we'll throw up some arrows. There's actually some arrows left over from the ECA.
Okay.
On the roads, but we'll go throw some fresh ones up.
And then how about parking, ample spots for everybody? Flat.
It's a little light on parking.
Okay.
As far as flat spots, there's plenty, but if you're coming in a rig, you want to get here early and
claim
your spot.
Okay.
And if you're coming with a rig, you definitely want to go left, the big rig. Pickup trucks, trailers going to the right, like your GPS will bring you, will be fine. But, the bigger rigs, it's a little tough going to the right when you get off the turnpike.
Okay. Thanks for the tip there. And then everything's
I came the right, and it was quite interesting.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah, so take note. Yeah, if you got a bigger unit here getting off the turnpike, stay to the left. And your GPS will reroute you.
The right's good now because I cleared out all the low branches.
Oh, okay, yeah. Somebody's got to do it. Cutting trail one way or the other. And then, all right, so everybody at Rocket is ready for what Temple Off-Road is going to bring this weekend?
Oh, yeah. They've been hard at work every day, fine-tuning the moto track out there. Dozer's been running nonstop pretty much.
Cool.
Out mowing the grass, making parking nice. They're working hard at it.
Sweet. Anything on the backside here, Bree? Anything you're going to need to remind anybody about? Pre-reg closes tomorrow night, I believe, correct? And anything else?
Sure, if you have it, get those Rock Mountain Bucks pre-registering.
Oh, yeah.
Registration's open until Thursday night.
All righty. Very good. And I'm here. I'm still here. Is there anything on like pit vehicles this weekend? What's the status on any reminders for everybody?
Pit vehicles, always wear a helmet.
Yep.
Pretty straightforward. I don't think
normal
Rocket,
rules.
Normal rules apply. I don't think Rocket has anything for us as far as anything special.
Okay.
As far as the fences. Basically stay off the moto track. If you want to walk in the woods, that's but stay off the moto track when races are live.
I got a good question for you. Is there a PA system? Oh dear, might have lost him. Tegan, can you hear me? Oh yeah, you're coming in and out. It's got a little static here. Oh dear. Of course, the only question I was interested in hearing about. Oh, no. Yeah, you're coming and going still. All right, well, I guess I'm going to have to hang up on him here. I'm letting you go. I don't know if you can hear me, Tegan. Goodbye. All right, so still having a little bit of static here. I don't know what that's all about, but golly. So, yeah, we're going to have to wrap here on that one. Tegan was unable to answer the only question that I really wanted to know about, and that was whether or not we had a PA system for this weekend at Rocket. You guys know that I usually have my mobile kit set up on the side-by-side or something, and we have plenty of speakers out there to keep you guys informed. But when I have a PA system, such as the one at Bud's Creek, kind of spoiled, and fingers crossed that Rocket has something for me. But otherwise, we're going to set up our own kit and keep you guys all informed and entertained throughout the race day. Again, I'm looking forward to it. Excited to see everybody this weekend. There is a practice. Tegan probably should have mentioned this. Friday, there is a school, the Moto Academy. AJ Catanzaro is holding a clinic down there. I don't know if he's actually going to be there or not, but that program that he runs, the Moto Academy, they're holding a class on Friday. And then Saturday is open practice. I don't have any information on pricing or anything. I believe that is all through Rocket. So obviously you'll pay your gate fee, your normal gate fees for tour, and then Saturday's practice fee you'll be paying to Rocket, and then your race fees, obviously, you know, just normal stuff again. So yeah, you're not paying us to practice on Saturday. That goes to Rocket. And again, open practice, I think it was 10 to 4 is what I saw. So I'm going to load up the RM, and I'm going to try and spin some laps with you guys out there on Saturday. And who knows, maybe we'll all even line up on Sunday. Probably not, but doesn't hurt to dream. Yeah, so I think that's going to do it. Special shout out to Hans and FaZe Moto for getting us all kitted out. Some new gear. You can get 25% off. Use code VOICEOFTOUR at checkout. And then, of course, want to give a shout out to Bike Graphics. I've got about half of the new kit put on the RM. Got to finish that up before the weekend. You can get 15% off at Bike Graphics. Use promo code TOUR15 at checkout. And they have all your tour logos. So if you want to get a custom kit and get the tour racing logo on there, you want to reach out to Trey at Bike Graphics, and he will get you guys dialed in and all kitted out. And, you know, as I always say, look good, feel good, ride good. That's going to do it. I guess I'll see everybody this weekend at Rocket Raceway. Thanks for tuning in.